At some point, I would like to venture out west and see some of the national parks that are on that end of the continent. The Redwood Forest, Yosemite, Yellowstone. I had a pipe dream a couple of years ago that I would make a loop out west and do just that, and the final destination on the trip would be the Grand Canyon. I'd like to see how grand it actually is. And one of the newer attractions that are there is this glass bridge. It's a wraparound walkway that extends out beyond the cliff to provide a better view of what's below and what's beyond. And I read this week that that bridge is able to withstand 100-mile-an-hour winds, it's able to withstand a magnitude 8.0 earthquake, and that it is strong enough to hold 747 airplanes, I guess stacked all on top of each other, all of that weight. And I am sure that that is scientifically true. And I'm also sure that it's all written down to encourage the tourists to pay the $70 to walk out onto that bridge, dangling themselves over the canyon below. Maybe some of you all have done that. How many of you all have actually walked out onto that glass bridge? Anybody? We got one. Sam back there. You're a brave soul. Because when you step out onto that glass, that is an act of complete trust. You're trusting your life into the hands of people who have designed that bridge and the structure itself. It's trust. And that is the key word that is in front of us today. We are told we are to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, to have absolute confidence in Him, knowing that He is completely trustworthy, reliable, to give your entire life to, all of you, every compartment of your life, all of your ways, all of your resources, all of your relationships, your future, everything. Believing that He is loving enough to care about you, notice you, wise enough to guide you, good enough to never mislead you, powerful enough to always steer you rightly, and to orchestrate events in your life the way that they should be for your good and His glory. And to have such confidence in this God that you, like one of those tourists at the Grand Canyon, that you will be willing to step out onto the Lord with complete trust. That is the place that God desires your heart to be this morning, and that is genuine faith. That's what faith looks like. Not always being able to see things perfectly yourself, but trusting yourself into God's hands who can see everything perfectly and will work everything in a way that is best. Have you ever had to give somebody your complete trust before, or at least most of it? Maybe you were kind of helpless, at their mercy. The outcome was completely hands, and they said to you something like, trust me. And in a sense, you did kind of step out there onto that glass bridge. And maybe you got burned. Maybe you didn't. But in that moment, you needed that person to come through for you, to take care of some problem that you had, something that you could not handle on your own or were not allowed to handle on your own. I have some examples in my mind. There's been some times that I've had to do this, and maybe you have too. Have you ever picked up the phone before and called the IRS? I have. And if not them, maybe some other bureaucracy or insurance company, and you've got a problem that you're not able to solve. You need somebody to work on your behalf. And you lay out the facts of your situation, knowing that you're probably just a number to the person on the other end of the phone, might even be sitting in a call office in a different hemisphere from where you are. You are completely powerless. I don't like being out of control. I'm going to assume that most of you in this room don't like being out of control either, do you? And what I'd like to have happen in those moments when I've been on those calls is to have that person's computer screen right there in front of me and their keyboard, and I just fix it all myself. Because nobody knows how to take care of me like me, right? I know what I need. I know how to get things done. And I don't like having anything outside of my control if I can help it. I think you can relate. But when it comes right down to it, you and I are not in control of very much. We might try and control a lot of things. We might worry about a lot of other things. But generally speaking, we are pretty powerless. And not only are we powerless, when we do have control of things, what often happens? We mess things up when we get our hands around them, don't we? We think we know what's best. We think we know how to handle it. And then we get involved and find out we've overstepped our bounds. So we're told here, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and then lean not on your own understanding. We are given this command right here because that's exactly what we are prone to do. We are prone to lean on our own understanding. We're prone to trust that we know what is best, that our inclinations are always right, that if we feel it, it's true. If we want it, we should have it. And that because the impulse comes from inside of me, I can trust its source. We trust ourselves naturally, do we not? And I'm grateful that there is a word picture here to capture our imaginations. It says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on it. Don't prop yourself up on your own understanding. And so let's say that your own understanding means, in my own mind, this is the way that it should be. This is how it should go. This is what my future looks like. I know what is best. I think you get the picture. And then imagine a cane like the one that Mr. Peanut holds down here below, and he's leaning on it. And we're being told here that when we lean on our own understanding, when we put confidence in our own plans, when we trust in our own abilities, our wisdom, our feelings, the world's ways, our power to control the future for the best possible outcome for ourselves, when we lean on our own understanding, we lean on what cannot support us. It's likely to break. But we are being told that there is one who is worthy of our leaning on, our trusting in. One who orchestrates all things well, he does all things well, and he is worthy of our trust. A God who can be stepped out onto like that glass bridge with complete confidence that he will uphold us and always do what is best for us in every situation. I want to start broad here and then work my way into some specifics as we think about what it means to trust in the Lord. So the first thing that I'd like for you to understand that we can trust into God's hands is our future. God calls us to trust in Him with our future. He knows the plans that He has for us. He knows that those plans are always good. And we struggle, do we not, to rest in those plans. And so what do? We worry. We can't sleep. Our minds constantly go to various problems that affect the future, and we try to arrange them, work them in a particular way, massage them, get them where we want them, because we think we know what is best. I say all this because these are things that I do. This has been a confusing season for me. And I would like to tell you that over the past many months, as I have begun to think through a potential new ministry, that I have known exactly what I am doing the whole way through. Or that the last time that I was thinking about a potential new ministry and ended up here, that I knew exactly what I was doing. But I can tell you that I did not know either time exactly what was going on. I have a mess of thoughts and emotions and desires, and I don't always know exactly what to do with all of them. I don't always know what is best for me, for my family. And there is an uncertain quality about my situation right now, my family's situation, where I don't know exactly what the future holds. And I am more fully aware of my inability to know it or control it probably than any other time in my life. But this text keeps me on track. It settles my heart and puts it where it is supposed to be, that I am to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and acknowledge Him in all of my ways. And if I'm doing that, I am in very good hands. And here we're told, acknowledge. Acknowledge Him. It doesn't mean give a tip of the cap. That's kind of what acknowledge means to me. You notice somebody, you say hello. That's not what this word means at all. There's a deep knowing of who God is right here. You acknowledge who He is, and that everything that He is trustworthy. So there are probably people in your life right now that when you know their character, you would not trust them based on what you know about them, right? They're not trustworthy. You wouldn't lean on them in times of difficulty. But he's saying here that if you know the Lord and who He is, that all of His ways are good and all of His ways are steadfast love and faithfulness. If you know Him, you know that you can trust everything to Him. That's what's going on here in this word. So you know His character. You know His ability. You know who this God is. And if you know Him, you know that doing things His way will always be best. He is far more worthy of my trust than the person inside of me is. Far more. That means God's timing and ways will be best. Because I want certain things to happen right now, or in the way that I expect them to. Expectations are dangerous, aren't they? They certainly can be. And when they don't work out the way that I want them to, I try to steer them that way. I worry about them. I think on the what ifs. But that is not me trusting in the Lord. But I'll also say that trusting in the Lord is not simply the phrase let go and let God. It's catchy, and it captures something of what's going on there, but certainly not its entirety. God is in control of the situation, and you do need to turn things over into His hands, but it also means that you aren't supposed to just sit there idly by and do nothing in the meantime. That's not always the case. We aren't in control of our future, but God does call us to make wise choices in the present, to live with wisdom. That's what the book of Proverbs is about, how to live wisely in a fallen world. And then God uses those choices, those wise choices, to produce a good future for us. This would take a lot more time to develop, but there are two principles that come to mind as I think about biblical guidance, and I'm going to put them in a sentence or in a question, and I hope it'll be helpful to you. So when the time comes to make difficult choices, and it may be today, it could be very simple in some ways, maybe it's just basic things about life, or maybe you're thinking about your own future, maybe who to marry, or how many children you're going to have, or what kind of job you're supposed to have, where you're going to live, all of those things. A good question to ask yourself is this the wise and loving thing to do? Is this wise? And is this loving? And so when making daily decisions or planning for the future or any of our relationships that we have, if we would ask ourselves that, is this wise? And is this loving toward the people around me? And those things might even sound, they're not always so simple. But we certainly need to ask ourselves those things. Seek the Bible's counsel on what that looks like. What does wise living look like? What does it look like to live as a loving person in the kingdom of God? There's so much said about that. And if we would ask ourselves those questions, that's what it looks like to trust in the Lord's way and not my own. In my situation, it's these questions that have helped me to understand how to move into this next season of life. And for this church, as you begin to think through your next season here, ministry, leadership, God's loving wisdom will guide you as well. Your future is in good hands. And the principles are in His Word that we are to obey, and the rest can really be left to Him. So you can trust Him with your future. What else are we supposed to trust the Lord with? Or what else might our hearts gravitate to trust in instead of Him? This is what God's Word is supposed to do. It searches our heart. It doesn't leave rocks unturned. What is it right now in your life that you may be trusting in instead of the Lord? And you need God's Word to kick the rock over so that you can examine it. I want to give you a few here that maybe some of you this morning are trusting in. Things that lead you instead of God. The first is money. You and I are going to be tempted to put our trust in our resources and find our security in those things. We're told by the world that we always follow the money, that it just makes sense. That's good wisdom. You take the job that pays better, generally always. Take the job that pays better. Or you always sell or hold out for the most that you can get. That more money is always best. There is an allure in money, isn't there? It draws us. It tells us to follow it. Follow me. My path is secure. Happiness is with me always. It tells us that we can trust it. But along the way, what we find happening to our hearts is that money begins to own them, to rule them, to lead them. And a test for this is, if we are trusting in money, we will be inclined towards selfishness, holding too tightly to what we have and struggling to turn any of it loose. Oh, I got to have that for a rainy day. No, I can't give to help that person. Yeah, I know they need it, but I'm going to need it someday too. It all sounds so wise. Maybe even sounds like good stewardship. But if we're trusting in the Lord, we will be more generous and hold our money and our possessions with an open hand. I certainly don't mean here that you should be willing just to give your rent money away, not pay your electric bills because somebody else has a need, that you're supposed to be negligent in some of those things. That's not what I'm saying. Wisdom is necessary here. But there will be a theme that develops in your life if money has become your trust. One of my favorite quotes from Jonathan Edwards speaks to this. It's so good. I was cleaning out my office a couple weeks ago and I uncovered it underneath some things and I propped it back up. And I needed to speak to my heart too. Listen to what he says. He says, if you are selfish and make yourself and your own private interest your idol, God will leave you to yourself and let you promote your own interests as well as you can. But if you do not selfishly seek your own, but do seek the things that are Jesus Christ's and the things of your fellow human beings, then God will make your interest and happiness His own charge. And He is infinitely more able to provide for and promote it than you are. The resources of the universe move at His bidding, and He can easily command them all to subserve your welfare, so that not to seek your own in the selfish sense is the best way of seeking your own in a better sense. It is the directest course you can take to secure your highest happiness. I'll just simplify that in case you missed it. If you trust in Jesus Christ with all your heart and not your selfish impulses, He will command the resources of the universe to care for your welfare, since Jesus is much more able and equipped to promote your well-being than you are. And as we sit here in a room like this, we believe that, do we not, in our minds? We believe it as truth, but when the rubber hits the road, what happens? We get all squirrely. And we start to just make decisions based on what our hearts tell us rather than what God's Word tells us, that you can trust Him with your resources if you will live by the way that He has commanded you. He's trustworthy. Another example where we will be tempted to trust in something else other than the Lord: we trust in our feelings. Let me give you an example. Jealousy is a powerful feeling, is it not? I'd say that everybody in this room has dealt with it at some point or another, maybe even dealt with it at some point this week. Jealousy is a strong feeling. We feel it on the inside. It has an effect inside of us, does it not? And because it comes from our own heart and mind, we think we can trust it. Well, she must be in the wrong. This feels really bad. She must have done something wrong. And I'm in the right here because I'm feeling this thing. Now, we don't reason like that in our minds, but the feeling compels us, does it not, to follow it, to trust what we feel. And so we think to ourselves that it's okay to have these feelings, to harbor them, to excuse them. But God's Word here says, lean not on your own understanding. Jeremiah 17 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can know it? Meaning, don't trust your heart. Your feelings are not naturally trustworthy. You need to learn to question them like a prosecuting attorney. Challenge your impulses. Lead your feelings with the truth of God's Word. He says to love. That's what He says. Even when that's not your first impulse. When you say, I can't do that, He says you can by the Spirit that He's given you. You just don't want to because it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right. I can't overcome the mountain of this feeling that I have inside of me. But God says, I'll empower you. We just sang that song a little while ago magnificently in here. Yet not I, but Christ through me, right? But through Christ in me. That's how we are to begin living. Yes, in your own strength, you cannot overcome this feeling. But through Christ in you, yes, you can. So God says to love. He says to forgive. He says to count others more significant than yourself. And all of those are invitations to what? To trust in the Lord and not lean on your own understanding. Other sinful impulses that call us to trust in them, but not limited to these: lust. Lust. It tugs at the heart, but it also demands from the body. There is no stronger physical feeling impulse than sex. Will you trust what the Lord says rather than give in to what your body demands? Covetousness. We want what we don't have. And we find that we are ungrateful with what we do have. It becomes common after a while. We read in the Old Testament that in Solomon's reign, that silver became like rocks in the kingdom. Nobody thought anything about it anymore. They began to take it for granted. It was just everywhere. What have you begun to take for granted in your own life? A great blessing that God has given to you. But now it's like rocks to you. Just nothing. That relationship that you prayed for, that job that you prayed for, that house that you prayed for, now that you have them, they're nothing. And you want what you do not have. We have covetous hearts. Don't immediately trust the impulse to want more. Anger. We've joked about that here before. It's my Irish heritage. It's my German heritage. It's my Italian heritage. Like, they all must be prone to tempers and anger. Because they are. It's because we're all sinners. And we all get angry. But just because you get angry at something, it does not mean that your perspective is right and the other person is wrong. Sometimes wires get crossed. Our personal assumptions are incorrect. There are times we think we know a person's motives when we do not. We cannot see inside the heart. And we excuse ourselves when we take offense at other people, but we are far less generous when others do the same to us. And so challenge your anger. Ask God's forgiveness for it and pray that He will make you slow to anger, slow to speak, and more quick to listen. And so what I would have you to see this morning is that every sinful impulse is an attempt to secure your trust in what that particular impulse promises. Trust in me. I'm right. I'm coming from your heart. You can trust your heart. It wants to secure your trust rather than have you trust in the Lord. And so this proverb is challenging us in every compartment of life to know that the eternally wise and loving God who bought us with the blood of His Son, that He knows best. And you will be tempted in almost every situation to think that you know what is best, or that your impulses or your feelings, your emotions are right. Everything can be brought to Him. Everything can be trusted into His hands. Your future, your sins, your feelings, your relationships, your ministry, your children, your health. God is the one. He is telling us that He is able and He is trustworthy. One last caveat before we close. Because we're given a promise here. He says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. That's a promise. So our expectations might be, when I do things God's way, things will always go better for me, right? Well, yes and no. If you trust the Lord with all your heart, and always seek to be biblically wise and loving and honor Christ in your daily decisions, will life go smoother? That's right, sometimes. I heard that. This is true, but it is not always immediately true. This is truth. We cannot always judge the situation based on immediate results. There are some genuine, godly brothers and sisters who are here in this room right now, but also around the world, who are trusting in the Lord with all of their hearts and acknowledging God in everything, and things are going horribly wrong for them. At least that's the way it looks right now. But the Lord will honor His promise. Because those people have placed their trust in Christ, their path will lead straightway into heaven with their Savior, where there will be no weeping or gnashing of teeth, but all rejoicing and praising. It will turn out best for them. Maybe not in the short run, but always in the long run. And every now and then, what God chooses to do, He blesses us in the short run. And we praise Him. But not always. Sometimes trusting in the Lord and doing things His way will cause things to go, what looks like to the world, terribly for you. But it's always good for your heart and always good for your soul. And the choices that you make in doing things God's way right now will have a ripple effect into eternity. You can count on that. That is a promise. And so sometimes we trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding. We acknowledge Him in all our ways, and our path will right now get smoother. You don't destroy yourself. You don't ruin your relationships. You don't squander all of your money. True, those things will happen, but we live in a fallen world where there's lots of sin and there's lots of sinners, and there is an evil Satan out there looking to destroy those that he hates. So you can do everything right and things can still go wrong, but you can rest assured whether sooner or later they will always turn out for your good because they are in your God's hands. And you may not see it in this life, but you will see it in the next. And again, that is trust, that is faith, believing that I may never see the good, that this good and godly decision that I'm about to make will bring about. It might actually make life harder for me, but in God's hands, it will turn out best for my soul. Even if I never make my way to the Grand Canyon, and I do hope I will get there someday, I don't think that I will step out there on that glass bridge like Sam did, even though those scientists say that it'll hold 71 airplanes. I don't have enough faith in them for that. But by God's grace, I do believe that He is worthy of my trust. And I and you can step out onto Him for everything. His way is always best for me, even when I cannot see how it is going to turn out, or when His way opposes my feelings or my impulses. He is more trustworthy than my gut. I know that He will not lead me wrong, or you, or this church. So one last time, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the promise that is in here. We thank You that You are a trustworthy God. You never wake up in the morning and are confused. Your wires never get crossed. Your feelings never run astray. We confess before You this morning that that is not the case with us. You know us far better than we know us. You see us very well. And we thank You, God, that You remember that we are dust. And You've chosen to send Your Son into the world. He gave His life as a ransom for sin, to purchase a people that will trust You now and into eternity. You have proven Your trustworthiness in Him. Lead us, Lord, to be a people, individually, but also collectively, who trust in our God with all of our heart. And in those compartments or areas that are inside of us, Lord, that are not trusting in you right now, Lord, conquer them by your great power and love. We ask it in the trustworthy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.